Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. I love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody. This is Joe and Angel, and here it is, another Mailbag Monday.
Hey, thanks, everyone, for joining us today. Remember, you can submit your own questions by direct messaging us on Facebook or Instagram, or you can email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com.
Okay, you ready? Let's jump in to the first question we have for the week.
All right. I married a great guy whom I fully believe was born again, and I still do, really. He grew up in church, and he knows all the right things and the right answers. But other than that, I really don't see any evidence of being a Christian. He treats me fine. That isn't the issue. I guess I just thought the spiritual side of our marriage would be different.
Well, now that is a different question, because everybody's got a different set of headlights and different set of ears. Language is kind of different, so I'm not really sure. Without sitting down to a couple like that, you're not really sure what they're looking for, because what they're when you get two people marry, they're right the opposite. And that's what's hard to convince everybody, and we do the marriage seminars. You marry your absolute total opposite. You're attracted to your opposite. You're not attracted to you. You already have you. You're attracted to what you're not, what you don't have. That's what God did. We made Adam, and then he made Eve. Somebody totally different when he walked up. Adam thought, "Ooh, that's not me." No, that's your total opposite. And so when you get married, you know, everybody does it. I did it. You know, when you get married, what did you do? Well, I fell in love with somebody's flesh. I like the way you look, the way you smell, the way you kiss, the way you cook, the way you hold hands. I like that. But I don't really know you. And you have to get married. So there's a great movie line that I quote all the time. Marry me, I want to date you. Marry me, I want to date you. Because when you get married, scales are going to fall from your eyes. Revelation will come from heaven. You're going to realize, what did I do? Because you need to hear from God about getting married. You know, somebody kissed one time with me about, well, Joe, you just need to date around. I said, I don't need to date around. I need to find out who God has for me. Because you start dating around, the minute you get married, they're going to change.
Yeah,
that person's going to change 2 days after you marry them, because they're still growing in the things of God. So what you've got is that sounds like a really good marriage. You know, things are going really good. It's just the spiritual side. I had a couple one time that we counseled with, and he was a very devout Christian, went to church all the time. She wasn't as strong. Then all of a sudden, she got turned on to God, and, man, she's just on fire for God. And he would sit on the back row of this church. I knew the pastor for years, great guy. He said, and all of a sudden, she gets on fire for God, and she wants to drag him down to the front row. He didn't want to go. No, I've been in this church my whole life. He paid his tithe. He volunteered. He had a great farming business that he had, and he was a really good man, still is. And so, but he wasn't going to go down the front row. He didn't like the front row. Well, she thought he'd backslidden because he didn't go in the front row. And all of a sudden, she stopped playing kissy face with him. They're married, and so she stopped cooking his favorite meals and playing kissy face. And he came to the pastor about a year later and said, "Pastor, I need to talk to you. I've got some problems." It's because they weren't having sex anymore, you know, and that's not good in any relationship. And what it was, it started by really where the sex wasn't the problem. It was that she's judging. He ought to be, if he's a real Christian, he should act like this, sit right here, sing this way, and act the way I do. He's not you, honey. He's somebody different. You married your opposite. So, you know, on the spiritual side, especially the ladies are looking for him to do a certain thing. Somebody just asked the other day a question. Well, he just doesn't pray much. Well, he probably doesn't. He doesn't talk much either. You know, women have three times the vocabulary of the average man, so he's not going to share a whole lot. He's not built that way. So give some insight on this, Angel.
Well, I mean, I agree. I think we have unrealistic expectations when we get married as to what the other spouse is going to bring to the table. And most of the time it is that they're going to fulfill me. They're going to fulfill the hole that I'm feeling in my life. They're going to make me happy. They're going to be my spiritual leader. They're going to do whatever. But really, if you're not complete and healthy on your own, you know, then you're going into it with the wrong attitude and the wrong heart anyway. So the person is not there to fill those gaps. They're there to walk hand in hand with you and to walk side by side with you in agreement and stuff like that. Sometimes I see people and they think, well, if you don't read your Bible an hour a day, if you don't pray 2 hours a day, if you're not, you know, just like
I got the checklist out. You're basically not, you're failing.
Yeah,
you're failing.
Yeah, if, yeah. And the thing is, and I always go back to this. Always, it's all you can do is work on you. And there and marriages have an ebb and a flow. There may be times that you are spiritually stronger.
Yep.
There may be times that you have to carry that a little bit. But it is unfair to have an expectation of your spouse that and you not be willing to you know to do the same thing. Kind of like you got this big plank in your eye.
Yep.
And you're pointing your finger over there at them. I mean, it sounds like he's a good guy. Sounds like he didn't surprise you in any other ways. I mean, I can't imagine that this was a big spring on you. I mean, if he grew up in church,
yeah.
You know, he probably hasn't changed, you know, unless something major has happened. But he I'm sure he still loves God, and none of that's changed. So I don't know what your expectations are, but they may be a bit unrealistic.
Yeah, you got to watch that you just don't throw things out of kilter. God is the only difference maker in your life. You know, you got something lacking, you're not going to get it out of a human. Humans going to disappoint you. Your spouse is going to disappoint you. They're not perfect. There are no perfect humans. God didn't make one. The Bible says that the righteous fall 7 times a day and they get back up. There's a lot of getting back up. People who know how to repent quick, forgive quick, but there are no perfect people. And so you hate it, especially the guy. I mean, I can imagine what he's thinking, like, man, what does I need to do? Do I need to, you know, walk backwards and raise the dead and walk on them, part the ocean? What do you want out of me?
Well, and the thing is every time he turns on a football game, he's probably feeling condemned. Maybe I should be reading my Bible. You cannot be the Holy Spirit for somebody.
No,
you cannot. Listen, I've had a lot of people in my life try. But you ultimately have to leave that to God.
You know, one of the things that the pastor shared with this one couple that was just tremendous, and he said, you know, the lady came, she's complaining about her husband. He was a real good, faithful guy. And so my wife talked to her. I said, honey, you need to talk to her. I said, you know, here's what you need to do. When your husband comes home today and gets off that track, when he comes in the house, you have his dinner ready. And whatever, what does he like to eat? He likes steak. You have the biggest old steak cooked that he can possibly eat, big old baked potato. Don't make him sit at the table. This guy liked to watch Rambo movies. You go make sure you buy every Rambo movie that's ever been made. You put him in that big recliner in the living room, and you pop that chair back, and you get that serving table and put it in front of him and serve him that steak, whatever. Pull those boots off, give him a good foot massage while he's eating his steak, watching Rambo. Then you go to the bathroom, so you get all cleaned up and dressed up and all smelling nice, and you get in that bed, make that bed up, and then you lay there and you wait on him, because eventually he's going to come to bed. And so when he comes to bed, you need to make love to him and his eyeballs fall out. And I guarantee, and that's what he said. Now, these are good old Southern people. So long story short, they're on the front row of the church today. She got him to the front row, but it wasn't by yelling at him. Well, you're not this. You need to do that. You need to get, you know, just sucking lips off somebody's face can make a huge difference.
That is true, because, you know, I mean, part of what God had put in a woman is the power of influence.
Well, I'm telling you.
And you can use that in a very positive or
ladies,
a very negative way.
You're loaded, ladies. You're loaded.
Yeah. So so love him to the next level.
Yes. Love never fails.
No. All right. So, Joe, the next question is, how do you study the Bible? I usually just pick it up, read a few chapters from wherever, and hope there's something useful in what I read for the day. I've always wondered what people do when they study the Bible. That's actually a very good question.
Great question. You know, the Bible, you start looking all the scriptures up, you know, study to show yourself, prove a workman, need not be ashamed. You need to meditate in the word day and night so you'll prosper and have good success. You got to get your face in the book every now and then. Out of the abundance of the heart and the mouth will speak. Every time I'm dealing with something, I usually have to go find some scripture. I don't read the Bible to be holy. I usually read the Bible because I got a need. Now, what you want to do, you ought to have a daily Bible. There's every bookstore in America's got one. You go get you a daily Bible, daily walk. Usually, my favorite's the New Living Translation, big old paperback. And so they'll have the date. You know, today's date. And so, well, it might be one chapter, it might be four. But this is today's reading. Tomorrow, it might be half a chapter, the next day it might be two chapters, but they've got it marked out, you know, depending on what it is, so they don't overload you. And so I said, get you a daily walk Bible. I had all my kids go for the daily walk Bible. And if you miss a day, don't try to catch up the next day, because then you're mad, you're frustrated. You think, my God, I'm not spiritual. I've missed 4 days this week. I don't even know God. No, you know God. Just you think about this. The apostles of Jesus Christ had no Bible.
Mm-hmm.
They had nothing written down. All they had was the law. They had the first five books. And the Bible says next, those that have turned the world upside down have come here also. They just hung out with Jesus, and Jesus corrected them on a regular basis. These were not perfect saints. God corrected Peter. He got on to Matthew. He's talking to John. He had to correct him. And one of the biggest things Jesus said most often to those closest to him, oh, ye of little faith. Oh, ye, when are you going to get this? This is God in human form talking to him. There are no perfect people. So what you need to do, you need to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says. The only way you can do that is open that book up. So find an easy read book. I tell people, how do you read the Bible? Start with Proverbs. You got enough for one a day. Read a proverb a day. Read a verse of one proverb a day. Just do something. That'll be more than what 90% of all people are doing anyhow.
Well, and I think, you know, actually, I'm not a great studier. You know, some people, they just love to dig in and just dig and research and all that. And it's like, for me, that's like, ah! I mean, that is just not my thing. And so, I think sometimes you put too much pressure on yourself when you hear words like that. I mean, I would do something even at Joe McGee Ministries. We have you can sign up and get a daily devotional.
Yes.
Something like that where you just have a word of the day and just let it just sink into your heart and think about it, meditate on it throughout the day. It doesn't have to be a deep study of the Bible.
You don't need a lot of Hebrew and Greek. You just need to read.
I mean,
if you can, it's there.
Yeah. I mean, and if you go to your Christian bookstore, there's tons of Bible studies that you could get into and be a part of. But I would just start simply. Don't get a good word for the day. Let it carry you throughout the day. Let it come up in your heart. Think about it. Meditate on it throughout the day. And, you know, don't beat yourself up over it because you're not
People used to always ask us, man, how'd you learn the Word of God? I said, well, I taught a chapel in a Christian school once a day for 175 days a year for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so I found a really good children's Bible storybook at a local bookstore, and it's still in print today, Egemeyer's Bible storybook. And I went through that 10 times in 10 years. I went from Genesis to Revelation 10 times in 10 years.
So it was a children's
study. It was a children's Bible storybook where I learned the Word of God. Now I've got my theology degree. I went, you know, great Bible school. I went and got my master's degree. But they said, where'd you go to Bible school? Well, that's not where I learned the Bible. I learned a lot of theology, which was really good and fascinating. But I learned the Bible just by reading a children's Bible storybook. Mm-hmm. So I tell people, how do I do this, Joe? I said, well, read a proverb a day. You can start with that. After that, you know, get you I got buddies of mine that still love this and said, Joe, that one-year Bible that you can get, like I said, again, my New Living Translation is one I love the most. It comes in paperback. So every year I get a brand new paperback one-year Bible, through the Bible 1 year. Read the thing. You can do that and go through the Bible 1 year. And if you miss it, don't worry about it. Catch it next year. Then if you do that, you say, well, I like that a lot, then start picking out a book of the Bible. Just go with Genesis. Go to the bookstore. Hey, you got a book on Genesis? Just something simple and easy to read. There's tons of great books available today. So find your book on Genesis. Spend 2 or 3 months just reading Genesis. Do your proverb a day. Do your 1 year through the Bible thing. And then just find just something you want to study. And what it does, it creates a hunger in you. People think, well, I find it hard. Listen, guys, it creates its own hunger. You know,
it does. I mean, and the great thing is if you draw nigh to God, if you seek him, he will draw nigh to you.
Come on, the magnet starts to happen.
So, just keep pressing in.
Yeah.
All right. So here's the next question. I've been married now for 5 years. About 2 years ago, I started feeling a definite call to the full-time ministry. I know it's real, and I'm not having a midlife crisis. My wife is born again, but she is definitely not on board with the idea of me going to Bible school and potentially becoming a pastor or something. How do I move forward without her agreement or support?
Mm. That's a good one, and I get asked that quite a bit. The greatest thing is just start volunteering in your local church. Mm-hmm. Everybody goes to church. You ought to go to church. Your wife ought to go to church.
Mm-hmm.
So start volunteering to teach class.
Mm-hmm.
Do that. You know, you have to study. She won't think, hey, my husband's gone wacky spiritual. Let me know he's teaching a class on Sunday. And you'll have to spend some time studying. And if she's with you in that class, and she probably will be, she's probably going to be fascinated. Man, where'd you learn that? Well, my study that I did this week.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's going to see that you, if you're called to do this, if you have an anointing on you to do this, she's going to notice that you're really good with people.
Mm-hmm.
And just start praying for it. Don't try to force it. Lord, I need you to take blindness off the minds of those around me and lighten the eyes of understanding. And Lord, if I'm called to do this, we need to do this together because we can't go one at a time. When I went to Bible school, my wife did not want to go. She I've been an engineer. I've got a great job, got a new home. And she knew Joe, something's happened to Joe. And we talked about it. And I think I want to go to Bible school. And so I applied for a online curriculum. I didn't have to go to Bible school. I got kids and having babies. So for 1 year, I took a curriculum in my house. Books would show up once a month. I did books in the back end. And then second year, well, did it another curriculum. So I did 2 years in a row. Finally said, hey, I think I really want to go to school. And she said, yeah, I think you maybe need to do that. And so we quit our job, sold our new home, moved to another state. We were going to Bible school. And so when we got there, we're trying to find a rent house, whatever. I said, honey, I'll tell you what, if I'm going to do this, I need you to know what it is I know. So you need to go with me. Mm-hmm. So it was a 2-year school. So she said, okay. Well, she enrolled with me. She made all A's. I made one every now and then. She was the smart one. And so we went through that. So I thought, well, then they started the second year. So I'm going to go the second year. She said, fine. So I did the second year. And then all of a sudden, we still don't really know what we're going to do. We're working 3 minimum wage jobs between the two of us. And I said, why don't you go the second year? She said, well, I think I will. So it was a slow process. It took it took 8 years to get in the ministry. It was a slow process. But when we finally did, we knew we were supposed to do that. And then we worked on staff for 10 years. And then all of a sudden we realized, hey, I think we're supposed to travel. And God had spoke to us. And she was all in. She was all in. She would travel. And every now and then some women would say, hey, could you speak to our ladies group? She said, well, I really don't like that, but I will. She never did like it. Mm-hmm. But she would do it. She was good at it. So we kind of walked that process. So people say, is your wife in agreement? Yes, but she doesn't do it, you know.
Yeah.
And so you come out of certain denominations, they think, well, if you're called the minister, your wife ought to be called. No, she's called to be my wife, mm-hmm. not minister. I'm called to do this. When I was an engineer, my wife wasn't an engineer. I'm the engineer. I'm called a minister. I'm called. She's not necessarily called, but she is my wife. She loves me. We have a good time together. So watch that you don't try to put 2 peas in a pod and make that work. So you've got a great illustration. I mean, y'all started off, you moved halfway across America.
Well, when I first got married, met my husband in Bible college, and we neither one had jobs when we got married. And how my mom and dad let that happen, I do not know. But yes, we did. And we lived in Florida in August in this house that his father owned that had no air conditioning, 1 ceiling fan. And I like to call that How to Test a Marriage 101. But anyway, he would say, my husband would say, he felt called to the full-time ministry. And I said to him, 2 things, that's fine. 2 things I never want to do. I never want to live in a cold climate, and I never want to work with teenagers. And he said, listen, God's not going to open the door for us if we sit here and watch TV. So he would make me every day from 9 to 5, we'd go street witnessing. We'd knock on doors. Just old school, you know. And about 3 months into that, and I'm serious, it was so tight financially. But he played drums, and we went to church 45 minutes away, and he would play drums for 5 services on Sunday. Mm. We volunteered for a youth group and on Wednesday nights. So we were just trying to do everything we could, doing witnessing and everything. And then one day we were somewhere, and I got a call from our pastor's wife, and I can still hear her in my ear to this day. She said, well, honey, I didn't know you wanted to be youth pastors. And I said, I didn't either. And so she said, well, I had a friend that called me, and they want you to fly up for a week and try out for this church in Spokane, Washington. Now, I'd never been west of Nashville, and I'd never been on a plane. I was a little country girl. So we got on that plane, and of course, my husband quickly took that job. Yep. And I got a job working for a ministry there. And I remember I was just so miserable at first. It was just like, ugh, it's freezing. We went out there and it was just snow up, just like the movies. It was actually kind of that part I did kind of like because I'd never been around snow. But of course, driving was terrible. I was horrible at it. And, but I remember one day I was walking down the hall and I was just really struggling with it. And I said to God, it was a defining moment in my life. I said, God, this isn't what I wanted, but we've given a 2-year commitment to this, and I'm not going to look back on it with regrets, so I'm going to give it everything I've got. And here's the thing that happened. I so fell in love with those teenagers. To this day, many of them are still very much a part of my life.
Yeah, they are.
And fell in love with youth. started going and traveling and doing 13 summer camps every summer. I loved it. I loved it. For years did that. To this day, I was at church not too long ago. Everybody let out, and all these adults were on one side, and I'm standing there in the middle of all these teenagers, and this girl poked me and said, you know, that call just never leaves. To this day, if you want to get me, I just love. Give me a room full of teenagers. I'm happy as can be. So her heart can change.
Yes.
I mean, the truthfully, the Bible says, how can two walk together unless they be in agreement?
Yes.
All you can pray is that God open her heart. And that as you move forward. But the best thing is not to just probably – she's probably scared about her security.
Yes.
And so, like Joe said, take steps. It's a process. It's a step of faith. So,
and God orders steps, not miles. Don't, mm-hmm. You just don't jump in the water until you learn how to swim. Just one step at a time.
Yeah. So, hey, we need people out there going for it.
Well, so. You know, we shared so much about this, I think, between the two of us. But I remember go to my high school reunion still and going to my 50th next year. And they still make fun of me because I took Fs on almost every oral book report, and I hated flying. I wouldn't go near an airplane. But all I do today is talk to people and fly on airplanes. So God's got a really strange sense of humor. The two things I feared the most as a young person, even a young adult, that's what I do full time, and I love doing it. So God can change a heart, can change your spouse's heart, your heart. God is just, you just got to give him some time.
Every time I have said, I'm never going to do that.
Yeah,
even when we started talking, I said, I'm never going to go back in ministry, and I'm never going to move back to Tulsa. And where am I sitting today?
Yeah. Yep, that's where we're at,
Jim
Bay. Yep.
What I'm going to start saying is, I'm never going to lose weight. Anyway, blessings to you and your wife.
Yes, blessings.
All right.
Well, that wraps up this week's Monday Mailbag. Before we go, we just want to thank all of our ministry partners for your faithful giving and for all of your prayers. It's because of you that we are able to continue reaching people and changing lives. If you'd like to become a partner with us or even give a one-time gift, please go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com, and click the Donate tab. There you can give and help us reach more and more people with this message.
Thanks to everybody for the great questions. We sure love hearing from you. Make sure to tell your friends about the podcast so they can get blessed too. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we'll be right here.